Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be turning Avatar Aang into a D&D character. I've wanted to do this episode for some time now because I love Avatar. So I have watched Avatar The Last Airbender, this isn't even hyperbole, probably 30 times. Probably 30 times, and I feel like that's being, like, that's a safe estimate. So there was a time in my life I was super depressed, I didn't want to do anything, and I would just have Avatar on at all times, and so every few weeks I would restart the series, watch through it all, restart it, watch through it all. I mean, it got to a point where I could recite most of the lines along with the show. Loved it so much. It was, and I still love it just as much today. I mean, I'm out of practice, so I don't know all of the lines, but it is just so incredible. And for those who don't know, Avatar Aang is a character from the cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender. What a show. I always say it's the best show. It's been my favorite show since it aired. And I remember it released February 21st, 2005. And I remember, you know, being a kid sitting on the floor in my parents' room watching the two-part premiere of Avatar on their TV and just immediately falling in love and then watching it every week. It's been my favorite show since then for 19 years. Isn't that wild? It's kind of wild. But yeah, I love it so much. The opening sequence for the show really says it all. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony. Then everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. So there were four nations, each corresponding to one of the four elements, water, earth, fire, or air. And they were living together in harmony, but then the Fire Nation started a war. Only the Avatar, master of all four elements, could stop them. When the world needed him most, he vanished. So the Avatar is the one person in the world who can manipulate multiple elements. Usually, if you're a bender, that's the term for being able to bend an element, you can only do one element. But the Avatar can do all four. He is the bridge between our world and the spirit world. So incredibly powerful and wise, and has access to all their past lives because the Avatar is reincarnated. 100 years passed, and my brother and I discovered the new Avatar, an airbender named Aang. And although his airbending skills are great, he has a lot to learn before he's ready to save anyone. But I believe Aang can save the world. And that is a character, Katara, saying that, who is one of Aang's friends and love interest, who's a waterbender in the South Pole. So the premise of Avatar The Last Airbender is that the Fire Nation is at war, and Aang is an airbender who was frozen in a block of ice for 100 years. So he doesn't know anything about the war, because it started pretty soon after he was born, because the previous Avatar, Avatar Roku, was the one keeping the war from happening. But upon Avatar Roku's death and his reincarnation into Aang, Fire Lord, the ruler of the Fire Nation, was able to start this war. And because the Avatar is reincarnated in a cycle, water, earth, fire, and air, Avatar Roku was a firebender, which meant the next Avatar would be born an airbender. So Fire Lord committed a genocide against all of the airbenders, and he slaughtered all of the airbenders. So Aang being trapped in ice is the last airbender. So the show starts, this children's show on Nickelodeon starts with a genocide, which is crazy, right? To start a children's show with a genocide and with being a survivor of genocide. And wow, Avatar is often talked about as a show for all ages because it talks about these themes like genocide and imperialism and indoctrination and totalitarianism and gender equality. It's just such fantastic storytelling. And it's 3 seasons, 61 episodes. It's so good. But Aang, the Avatar, has to travel the world and learn all 4 elements. He knows airbending, that's great. He starts as an airbender, and he has to learn the elements in order, water, earth, and fire. So he goes to the North Pole to learn water, he travels around the Earth Kingdom and eventually finds a teacher to teach him earthbending, and then even though they're enemies, he does find a firebending teacher to teach him firebending so that he can stop the current Fire Lord and stop this 100-year war. So that is the plot of it. We'll talk more about Aang as a character while we're turning him into a D&D character, because he doesn't have a ton of background himself. The show starts when he's a 12-year-old. So let's go right into picking his background, and we can kind of expand more on that. So for background, I was thinking, you know, hermit or sage, because he is an airbender. He's an air nomad from the Southern Air Temple. And what that means is he never knew his parents. He was raised by monks, as pretty much all airbenders were, from my understanding. They were raised by monks and taught the art of airbending and the spiritual side of bending, and it's just a very spiritual practice. So I was thinking sage or hermit, someone who just learns things, but you learn throughout the show that Aang traveled all over the world as a kid. He talks about his friend Bumi in the Earth Kingdom. He talks about his friend Kuzan in the Fire Nation, and you know, all sorts of places he's been and things he's seen. So I actually think we're going to start with Far Traveler, because he did travel far. And when the show starts, he also just continues traveling. The whole show is him traveling. It starts at the South Pole and goes all the way to the North Pole, then through the Earth Kingdom, and it's... yeah. So I think Far Traveler is very fitting for our boy Aang. So as a Far Traveler, Aang is going to gain proficiencies in Insight and Perception, as well as 1 musical instrument or gaming set of his choice. And he can also know an additional language. So we'll pick the language later once we have his race. But skill proficiencies in Insight and Perception, I think that makes a lot of sense. You learn in the sequel series, Legend of Korra, that airbenders shave their heads to better perceive the wind and the pressure of air around them. So I think proficiency in Perception makes a lot of sense. And Insight as well. Because I think Aang has good insight. He just doesn't really follow it. Because insight is, you know, being able to read people, being able to know the emotional state of people. And I think he can do that, but he always hopes for the best in people. So even though his insight might be like, oh, you can't trust this person, Aang will disregard that because he's hoping for the best. Then any 1 musical instrument or gaming set of his choice? We have some options here. In Book 3, Chapter 2, he plays the Sungi horn, I believe it is, at school, because it's a whole thing. He goes undercover at a Fire Nation school, plays the Sungi horn, but also in a flashback, he plays Pai Sho with Monk Gyatso, his mentor and his father figure, Monk Gyatso. So I think we're going to go with Pai Sho. Pai Sho being sort of like a version of chess, in a way. So there, background, Far Traveler, and race. Let's see, I think we're gonna go with Air Genasi for this one. I think that's pretty easy to pick. So as an Air Genasi, he's gonna gain dark vision, so he can see in the dark, that's pretty cool. He's going to gain unending breath, so he can hold his breath indefinitely when he's not incapacitated. And Aang can't hold his breath indefinitely, but he can hold it for a very long time, using airbending to fill his lungs. He's also going to gain lightning resistance, which gives him resistance to lightning damage. Aang kind of gets killed by lightning. He kind of gets murdered by lightning, but later learns how to redirect it. So I think that kind of redirecting the lightning is how we can flavor this resistance. And he's also going to get some spells. He's going to know the shocking grasp cantrip so he can make a little electricity of his own. And then at third level, he'll be able to cast the Featherfall spell once with the Mingle with the Wind trait, which just means he falls more slowly, won't take falling damage. And then starting at fifth level, he can also cast the Levitate spell with this trait and fly a little bit. And Aang is shown to not be able to fly without the use of his glider, but to create kind of a whirlwind, this tornado under him, and lift himself and float off of the ground. And when he goes into the Avatar state, he levitates off the ground as well. So I think giving him access to the Levitate ability is great. Once he casts Featherfall or Levitate with the Mingle with the Wind trait, he can't cast that spell again until he finishes a long rest, unless, you know, he uses spell slots. And I think Wisdom is going to be the spell casting ability for those spells. But yeah, I think that's good. Also, Air Genasi have a base speed of 35 feet. I'd say the normal speed is 30 feet, so a little bit faster than that, and that makes sense because Aang is very fast. As fast as the wind. For languages, he's going to know Common and be able to choose one of his choice, and he's going to get another choice from his Far Traveler background. So Common, let's do Primordial, because that's the language of elementals. And then let's pick Sylvan, because Sylvan is the language of, like, the fey creatures. And Avatar is the bridge between our world and the spirit world. So the spirit world is kind of like the Fey Wilds, where things are crazy and hard to parse and random magic is just everywhere. So Common, Primordial, and Sylvan. Now that we have his background Far Traveler and his race Air Genasi, we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a d6, a six-sided die, roll it four times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining three to get one of his six ability scores. So we're going to do that six times. Looking for a gift for the D&D or TTRPG nerd in your life? Look no further than We Print Miniatures. We Print Miniatures has a huge range of over 3,000 miniatures that they can print on demand and send to you or your loved ones, or even people you just sort of like. Check them out at weprintminiatures.com, and at checkout, use promo code FANTASIZEMEPOD to get 10% off your entire order. I love that for you. Okay, I rolled for Aang, and I think he got the best numbers that I've ever gotten on this podcast. This is character number, 76? And I think this is the best I have rolled. He got 14, 15, 13, 13, 16, and 18. 18 is the highest you can get. And everything else, like 10 is average in the D&D world. The lowest he has is 13, so he's above average in literally everything. This is incredible. This is exactly what I wanted for Aang. I love him so much, and I'm so happy he rolled well. It is devastating when you have a character you really love and they roll terribly. It's like, oh, I gotta give my guy such low stats. We don't have to worry about that. So his highest stat is 18. I think that is going to be Wisdom, because Aang, as the Avatar, he's so wise. And even as this 12-year-old kid, being raised by monks and taught this wisdom, but also having traveled the world and had so many experiences at such a young age, fills him with this wisdom. And also, being the Avatar, this spiritual side of thing gives him access to his past lives for their wisdom as well. So having a really high wisdom makes perfect sense for Aang. 16, we're going to put that into dexterity, because he is very dexterous. He's very fast. He can do all sorts of flips and fun acrobatic tricks. Next is 15. I'm going to put that into charisma, because he has this magnetic personality to him, you know. And also, I think charisma pairs well with wisdom, because having high wisdom and low charisma just makes you seem insufferable just spewing this wisdom at the wrong moments. No one wants to listen to you. You're that guy at a party who brings their guitar and just plays in the corner. It's like, you suck, dude. But anyway, having a high charisma means people will listen to your wise words. So we'll put the 15 there. Next is a 14. Let's put that into constitution, because Aang is a tough kid. He's just a tough kid. And constitution helps to determine hit points. So he'll have extra of those. And then two 13s, those will go into strength and intelligence. I think strength, honestly, if we had rolled lower, I would have put that into strength, because I don't think Aang is very strong. After he starts training with Toph, his earthbending teacher, he does start to get some muscle there. But he's more of a dexterity-based fighter. So 13 in strength and 13 intelligence. I think a 13 intelligence makes sense, because he's very wise, but he's not the smartest. He's a child who isn't in school. You know, his intelligence and wisdom, I mean, all of his stats increase throughout the show, but I think 13 intelligence is a good place for him to start. Next, we have a +2 and a +1 from him being an air genasi. So I say let's max out wisdom. Let's put the +2 into wisdom to make that a 20, highest it can get at first level. This is so cool. And then we'll do a +1 to charisma to make that a 16, which is a +3 modifier. So Aang's starting stats are 13 strength, 16 dexterity, 14 constitution, 13 intelligence, 20 wisdom, and 16 charisma. These stats are insane. I love this. Okay, now let's pick Aang's first class. And I don't think we're going to beat around the bush here. He was a monk, raised by monks. He's going to be a monk. So as a monk, he's going to gain proficiency in simple weapons and short swords, as well as one type of artisan's tools or one musical instrument. Hey, we can give him the Tsungi horn proficiency after all. So boom, Tsungi horn proficiency. He's also going to gain proficiency in strength and dexterity saving throws. Dexterity saving throws makes a lot of sense for him. Strength, not so much, but that's okay. Again, I think strength would be his lowest stat. Strength or intelligence? Maybe intelligence. He's not stupid. He's just very young. Okay, great. Now he's going to choose two skill proficiencies from acrobatics, athletics, history, insight, religion, and stealth. And I think acrobatics, absolutely, because he's a very acrobatic fighter. He's always doing stuff with acrobatics. And I also think stealth. I think stealth makes a lot of sense for him because he stealths around a lot. He's always hiding from people, running from people, trying not to be seen, trying to avoid people, trying to sneak around. He uses stealth all the time. And he's very light on his feet. Toph often refers to him as Twinkle Toes because he's so light on his feet. So high stealth there. Awesome. So as a first level monk, he's going to gain unarmored defense. So while Aang isn't wearing armor and he's not wielding a shield, his armor class is going to be 10 plus his dexterity modifier plus his wisdom modifier. Well, dexterity is +3 and wisdom's +5. So his armor class is going to be 18 at first level. Normally, it's like fighters or paladins who have armor classes that high because they can have heavy armor and shields. Aang doesn't need any of that. He's just in his usual fit with 18 armor class. And I feel like this translates not like, you know, he's wearing this heavy armor, has really tough, thick skin. It's just he's super good at dodging and avoiding attacks. And airbending is based on the martial art Bagua, which consists of moving in a circle, spinning back and forth, dodging, using your opponent's moves against them, that sort of thing. Makes a lot of sense that he would be very hard to hit. Also, at first level, he gains martial arts. So he can use dexterity instead of strength for the attack and damage rolls of his unarmed strikes and monk weapons. So if he's attacking with his staff, you know, he won't use that +1 from strength. He'll use that +3 from dexterity, which is great. He can roll a d4 in place of the normal damage of his unarmed strike or monk weapon, and that can go up as we increase his level in monk. And also, when he takes the attack action with an unarmed strike or a monk weapon on his turn, he can make one unarmed strike as a bonus action. So if he attacks with a quarterstaff, he can attack with an unarmed strike as a bonus action. Second level in monk, he's going to gain ki. So he's going to have a number of ki points equal to his monk level. So he's a second level monk, he has 2 ki points, nice and easy, and he knows 3 abilities that he can spend his ki on. The first is Flurry of Blows, so immediately after Aang takes the attack action on his turn, he can spend 1 ki point to make 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action. Normally he can just make 1, but with Flurry of Blows he can make 2. The second ability is Patient Defense, so he can spend 1 ki point to take the dodge action as a bonus action on his turn. That makes a lot of sense for Aang. These literally all make a lot of sense. Flurry of Blows, because Aang is so fast. Patient Defense, because patience is really important to Aang. And he learns this patience and this idea of waiting and listening and timing your retaliation perfectly. The last ability is Step of the Wind. So he can spend 1 ki point to take the disengage or dash action as a bonus action on his turn, and his jump distance is doubled for the turn. Again, this makes perfect sense! Step of the Wind? Hey babe, he's an airbender! Of course he can step on the wind, or whatever. Ugh, I love it. Next ability he gets at second level is Unarmored Movement. This just means his speed increases by 10 feet while he's not wearing armor or wielding a shield. Of course he's going to be really fast. He's an airbender. In one of Aang's wanted posters, it gives information about airbenders, and it says how fast airbenders supposedly move. Aang has been shown to be able to run very, very quickly, using airbending to bolster his speed. So this makes a lot of sense. So now his base speed is 45 feet. And he can use his action to dash, and then bonus action Step of the Wind to move 135 feet. That's gorgeous. He's so swift. Third level, we're going to multiclass into Sorcerer. That's right, we're not going to third level in Monk just yet. We are multiclassing into Sorcerer. And here's why. Aang is a master of all 4 elements. He is the Avatar. And there is a monk subclass called Way of the 4 Elements that is that same idea of giving this monk access to these magical powers relating to the 4 elements. But I think that subclass is very bad. I do not like that subclass. You essentially use ki points to cast spells. But the thing is, you have a very finite amount of ki points. And the greatest abilities that you can get from the 4 element subclass is like a 5th or 6th level spell that uses a 1/3 of your key points. That sucks. You burn through your key points so fast, and then you can't use the other fun monk features that use key points, like Flurry of Blows or Step of the Wind or some other fun things that you get later on, like Stunning Strike. You know, so I actually think it's a lot better to multiclass into a spellcasting class and just get spell slots to use your spells. I just think that makes a lot more sense, and you have a much wider access to spells. With the 4 element subclass, you can only have a few at a time. It's just not worth it. So we are going to multiclass into Sorcerer. So as a first level Sorcerer, he has spellcasting now. And Charisma is going to be a spellcasting ability. So a spell save DC, or what a target has to equal or beat to resist the effects of his spells, is 8, plus his proficiency bonus, plus his Charisma modifier, which would be a spell save DC of 13, and a spell attack modifier of plus 5. That's not bad. That's not bad at all, and that's just going to go up as his proficiency bonus does. As a first level sorcerer, he's also going to gain his Sorcerer's Origin, or his Sorcerer subclass, and we are going with Storm Sorcery. Okay, so I am even more clever than I thought, because the first ability he gets as a Storm Sorcerer is Wind Speaker, which means he can speak, read, and write primordial, because that is the language of the elementals, as I said earlier. So I'm just going to give him an additional language. So primordial and... what's another language I think makes sense? Primordial, Sylvan. I guess, like, celestial? because spirits have been worshipped sort of as gods. So, sure, celestial. So that's the ability Windspeaker. He also has tempestuous magic. So now he can use a bonus action on his turn to cause whirling gusts of elemental air to briefly surround him, immediately before or after he casts a spell of first level or higher. And doing so allows Aang to fly up to 10 feet without provoking opportunity attacks. So that means if he's going to cast a first level spell like Earth Tremor or Burning Hands, you know, some earthbending, some firebending action, he can use his airbending to move himself up to 10 feet. That's so fun. That's just really fun. He's a master of the elements. Of course he can do that. I am having so much fun with this. Okay, second level in Sorcerer, fourth overall, he is going to gain Sorcery Points. So he gets this Font of Magic, which gives him sorcery points, just like with Monk. It's sorcery points equal to his sorcerer level. He's a second level sorcerer, he has 2 sorcery points. And he can use these to create additional spell slots, or sacrifice spells to gain additional sorcery points. And he can't really do too much with his sorcery points, aside from spending both of his sorcery points to give himself a first level spell slot, until third level in Sorcerer, fifth overall, he gains Meta Magic. So now he can use his sorcery points to twist his spells to suit his needs. So he can manipulate his bending even better now. So he's going to learn 2 Meta Magic options of his choice, and I was thinking of giving him Transmuted Spell. So when he casts a spell that deals acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder damage, he can spend a sorcery point to change the damage type to one of those other types that I just listed. Just because that seems like a fun elemental thing, like, oh, this doesn't do cold damage, it does fire damage. This doesn't do fire damage, it does lightning damage. But I don't know if that's super fitting. I think him being really fast, I want to lean into that. So I'm going to give him Quickened Spell. So now when Aang casts a spell that has a casting time of 1 action, he can spend 2 sorcery points to change the casting time to 1 bonus action for this casting. So that means he can use his action to cast Firebolt, and then a bonus action to cast Gust of Wind. Boom. That's fun. And I'm also going to give him Careful Spell. So when Aang uses like an Area of Effect spell, he can spend 1 sorcery point and choose a number of the creatures in that range up to his charisma modifier, and that chosen creature will automatically succeed their saving throw against the spell. And I pick this because in Book 1, Chapter 16, The Deserter, he tries his hand at firebending long before he should. Because you're supposed to master the elements in order, which means fire's the last one he should master, and he hadn't even really learned a lot of waterbending. He loses control of the fire, hurts Katara with it, and then fights someone, Admiral Zhao, who doesn't have control of his fire. So I think control is really important to Aang, and being able to use this careful spell to avoid damaging his allies makes sense for him. Okay, great. Let's do fourth level in Sorcerer. That is an ability score improvement. Let's bump up that charisma from a 16 to an 18. That's now a +4 modifier, and that just makes all of his sorcerer spells more potent, all these elemental spells. I mean, he has access, obviously, to all of the sorcerer spells, but I don't think Aang is going to know, like, comprehend languages, or sleep, or enlarge reduce. Going to stick to the elemental spells. And I was actually playing in a campaign that my friend was running, and I wanted to be like the Avatar, but again, that Way of the Four Elements subclass is shit. So I wrote my own subclass that was just, that just made the monk a quarter caster, like an Eldritch Knight fighter or an Arcane Trickster rogue, that used his wisdom modifier as a spellcasting ability. So he had access to spells. And then my friend allowed me to use the spells that I had written in my elemental codex. So I wrote and published 100 elemental spells that you can check out on my Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme. And it was so much fun to just have my monk be able to cast elemental spells. It was great. It's like, oh, I can punch someone four times with flurry of blows if they're up close. Oh, they're far away? Let me hurl a rock at them with earthbending. It was great. It was so fun. Anyway, fifth level in Sorcerer, that is seventh overall, that's just going to give him access to third level Sorcerer spells. And, you know, again, they're going to be the elemental spells like Fireball or Lightning Ball, Sleet Storm, Water Walk, Thunder Step could be one. That's teleportation. I don't know if that really fits. Wall of Water. You gotta get creative choosing these elemental spells. Let's do sixth level in Sorcerer, eighth overall. That is going to be another Sorceress origin feature from the Storm Sorcery subclass. And that is called Heart of the Storm, which gives him resistance to lightning and thunder damage. He already had resistance to lightning damage, and it doesn't stack. He doesn't now gain immunity to lightning damage, even though that would be sick as hell. So resistance to lightning and thunder. In addition, whenever Aang starts casting a spell of first level or higher that deals lightning or thunder damage, stormy magic erupts from him. And this eruption causes creatures of a choice that he can see within 10 feet of him to take lightning or thunder damage equal to half his sorcerer level, so 3 damage. Which isn't much, but Aang using airbending to create a loud sound isn't anything new. There's one time where he takes a whistle, inhales, uses airbending to really inhale, and then blows on the whistle like crazy for a very long time. It's great. He's also going to gain the ability Storm Guide, which I don't think Heart of the Storm is really fitting. It's just something he gets. This next one, Storm Guide, I do think fits for the idea of manipulating the elements. So now, if it's raining, Aang can use an action to cause the rain to stop falling in a 20-foot radius sphere centered on him. He can end this effect as a bonus action. I really like this because there's an episode of Avatar. Aang doesn't do it, but in Book 3, Chapter 16, The Southern Raiders, Katara does stop the rain from falling around her. It's raining hard, and then all of a sudden she lifts her hands, and the rain just stops and becomes these little droplets that she creates this dome around her. It's very cool. And now Aang can do that as well. Also, if it's windy, Aang can use a bonus action each round to choose the direction that the wind blows in a 100-foot radius sphere centered on him. The wind blows in that direction until the end of his next turn, and this feature doesn't alter the speed of the wind. But yeah, he's an airbender. He should be able to choose which direction the wind blows, and 100 feet, a 100-foot radius sphere is huge. That is 200-foot diameter. I love this. I love this. This is incredible. Okay, beautiful. Next. I think I want to continue in Sorcerer for a little bit. So let's do 7th level in Sorcerer, 9th overall. That's going to give him a 4th level spell slot. So now he can cast 4th level spells. Very powerful. And there are a few elemental spells that he can learn there. Like Ice Storm and Wall of Fire and Watery Sphere. Those could be fun. Let's do 8th level in Sorcerer, 10th overall. That's going to be another ability score improvement, and I want to increase his dexterity this time. So let's give him 18 dexterity. That is now a plus 4 modifier as well. That increases his armor class to 19 and makes it easier for him to dodge things as well as hit with his staff or with his unarmed strikes. Next, let's see. What should we do for 11th level? I think we are going to become a first level fighter. So multiclassing into fighter gives him proficiency with light armor, medium armor, shields, and martial weapons. He's not gonna use any of that. If he puts armor on, his armor class will become much lower than it currently is. It's 19. It's so good. So first level fighter, he is going to gain second wind, which means Aang can now use a bonus action on his turn to regain hit points equal to 1d10 plus his fighter level per short or long rest. This isn't a ton of healing, but you know, it's potentially 11 hit points he can regain. That's nice. That's good. But the reason I wanted to dip into fighter is because he gets a fighting style, which means Aang adopts a particular style of fighting as his specialty, and we are going to choose blind fighting. So now Aang has blind sight within a range of 10 feet. Within that range, Aang can effectively see anything that isn't behind total cover, even if he's blinded or in darkness. Also, Aang can see an invisible creature within that range unless the creature successfully hides from him. And we're picking blind fighting because Aang learns how to do that from his earthbending teacher, Toph. Toph is blind, but sees through earthbending, and sees through vibrations in the ground. And she teaches Aang how to do that, and that's this beautiful moment where he fights the Fire Lord, and he does that, and it's so freaking good. It is so good. So Aang does have blind sense. Boom, now that is reflected. Okay, 12th level. Let's go back into Monk to be a third level Monk. So as a third level Monk, he's going to gain Deflect Missiles. So now when Aang is hit by a ranged weapon attack, he can use his reaction to deflect or catch the missile. When he does so, the damage he takes from the attack is reduced by 1d10 plus his dexterity modifier plus his Monk level. So 1d10 plus 7, which is pretty good. Arrows typically aren't going to do more than potentially 17 points of damage, you know what I mean? If Aang reduces the damage to zero, he can catch the missile if it's small enough for him to hold in one hand, and he has at least one hand free. And if he catches a missile in this way, he can spend one ki point to make a ranged attack with a range of 20-60 using the weapon or piece of ammunition he just caught as part of the same reaction. So this just means if he reduces the damage that the ranged attack would deal to zero, he can catch the weapon and then use one ki point to throw it right back at them. It's very cool. I don't think Aang is the type of person to grab an arrow and then throw the arrow back at someone. Aang is very much, he would be a D&D character who always attacked non-lethally. He's very sweet. He's mostly a pacifist, vegetarian, sweet, precious baby angel who doesn't really want to fight. He just wants to play with animals. And I love that for him. It's so cute. Imagine if he had this ability when he was fighting the Yugian archers. Ugh, they wouldn't stand a chance. Also, as a third level monk, he gains his monastic tradition, or his monk subclass. And we are going to go with the astral self. So I'm flavoring this as he has learned airbending, waterbending, earthbending, and firebending. Hasn't necessarily mastered some of those, but he's learned them, and he can now go into the avatar state. So the avatar state is something that avatars can access that gives them access to all of their past knowledge and power, which means while in the avatar state, they are incredibly powerful. The downside is, if they are killed while they are in the avatar state, the cycle ends and the avatar will not reincarnate. If you die in the avatar state, the avatar ceases to exist. So it's a very, you have to be careful because you're at your most powerful, but you are also at your most vulnerable. And I love that caveat because it's like, why doesn't the avatar just go into the avatar state and just do anything they want? It's like, oh, because they can become extinct. Insane. So the Way of the Astral Self subclass is my version of the avatar state. So now as a bonus action, Aang can spend one ki point to summon the arms of his astral self. And when he does so, each creature of his choice that he can see within 10 feet of him has to succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take force damage equal to two rolls of his martial arts die, which is 2d4 at the moment. While the spectral arms are present, Aang will gain the following benefits. He can use his wisdom modifier in place of his strength modifier when making strength checks and strength saving throws, which is great because he's proficient in strength saving throws, but his strength is only plus one. So he can use his wisdom and kind of outsmart or outmaneuver enemies now when making strength checks. He can also use these spectral arms to make unarmed strikes. And when he makes the unarmed strike with the arms on his turn, his reach for it is 5 feet greater than normal. So he can flavor that as like, you know, he's using airbending to increase the range of his attacks. The unarmed strikes he makes with these spectral arms use his wisdom modifier in place of his strength or dexterity modifier for the attack and damage rolls, and their damage type is force. That's great, because wisdom's his highest stat. But I imagine this as he's going into the avatar state, and, you know, being in the avatar state is accessing part of the spirit world, because the avatar is, he kind of is part spirit. So this is just bringing that to the fore. Let's do 4th level in Monk, 13th overall, to get another ability score improvement, and I say we pick a feat. So, for an ability score improvement, you can increase one ability score of your choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of your choice by 1, or you can pick a feat, which is just a special ability. So, we are going to give him one of those now, and I think it might be a little boring. I'm just going to give him the skilled feat, which gives him proficiency in any combination of 3 skills or tools of his choice, and we are just going to pick 3 skills. Because he's only proficient in 4 things, and I think Aang should have proficiency in a lot more than that. So we're going to give him proficiency in animal handling, because he loves animals and he's really good with animals. He has his animal guide, Appa, which is a 2-ton magical flying bison, and then also Momo, a flying lemur. So we're going to give him proficiency in animal handling with nature, because that just makes sense to me, Aang having to be in tune with nature. I mean, the elements are these natural forces. So being the avatar, the master of all 4 elements, it would make sense that he has proficiency in nature. Last thing, I'm going to give him proficiency in performance, because he can do a really cool marble trick. But he has frequently used his airbending and his acrobatics and his bending to have really fun, to just do really fun things. Like he uses waterbending to surround himself with snow so that he looks like a snowman. That seems like a performative thing. So I was thinking of giving him proficiency in like persuasion or intimidation, because he doesn't really like to fight, but he's very powerful. So I think he might be a little intimidating. And I was thinking sleight of hand, because, you know, he's quick. But I think performance. That's sitting right with me. So let's see, should we increase the fighter level? No. I think we got everything we needed with the blind sense. So let's keep going in Monk. Let's do 5th level Monk, 14th overall. He's going to gain extra attack. So that just means he can attack twice instead of once when he takes the attack action on his turn. Beautiful. That means he can attack twice, spend a key point to use Flurry of Blows, and attack 2 more times. Also, as a 4th level monk, he gains Slow Fall. So now Aang can use his reaction when he falls to reduce any falling damage he takes by an amount equal to 5 times his monk level. So 20 points. And that makes sense, because Aang doesn't really take falling damage. He's an airbender. And as an air genasi, he knows feather fall. So he's not going to have to worry about falling off of things. Also at 5th level, he gains Stunning Strike. So now when Aang hits another creature with a melee weapon attack, he can spend 1 key point to attempt a Stunning Strike. And the target has to succeed on a Constitution saving throw or be stunned until the end of his next turn. And I think this makes sense, because this ability exists in the Avatarverse. There's a character named Ty Lee who can hit pressure points to block chi within someone's body and prevent them from bending, and also stun them. Do exactly this. So I think it would be fun if Aang can do this as well, be able to mess with the chi in other people's bodies, because that is also something he can do. He has the ability to energy bend and take people's bending away. You know, how much more of an interference with the flow of chi in someone's body is that, right? 6th level in Monk, that is going to be 15th overall. He gets key empowered strikes. So now his unarmed strikes count as magical for the purpose of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage. That makes a lot of sense. Of course, he's very magical. And he also gets an ability from the Astral Self subclass called Visage of the Astral Self. So now, as a bonus action, or as part of the bonus action he takes to activate Arms of the Astral Self, he can spend one key point to summon a visage for 10 minutes. So I'm going to think of this spectral visage. It's supposed to cover your face like a helmet or mask, but I think this is his eyes and his arrow tattoos glowing. So with this, he's going to gain astral sight, so he can see normally in darkness, both magical and non-magical, to a distance of 120 feet. With his previous dark vision he got from being an air genasi, he could just see through non-magical darkness to a distance of 60 feet, but now it's magical and non-magical for twice that distance. He also has Wisdom of the Spirit, so he's going to have advantage on insight checks and intimidation checks. There's that intimidation I was talking about, because him being in the avatar state is very scary. Because he's like possessed by the spirit of the avatar and becomes so powerful and intimidating. So having advantage on those intimidation checks makes a lot of sense to me. He's also going to get Word of the Spirit. So now he can direct his words to a creature of his choice that he can see within 60 feet of you, making it so that only that creature can hear you. Alternatively, Aang can amplify his voice that all creatures within 600 feet can hear him. 600 feet. That is crazy. But what this means is Aang can use his booming, deep voice of the avatar state, which is the voice of all the avatars before him. And it's this incredible voice. Boom. He can do that now. All right, 7th level in Monk, 16th overall, he's going to gain Evasion. And I really wanted him to have Evasion because Aang totally has Evasion. So now when Aang is subjected to an effect that allows him to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, he instead takes no damage if he succeeds on the saving throw and only half damage if he fails. So if Zuko launches a fireball at him, Aang has proficiency in dexterity saving throws. So he has a +9 to those dexterity saving throws. If he fails somehow, he's only going to take half damage. And if he succeeds, he can use his airbending to make it so he takes no damage. And I like to think he is using his airbending for this, to create that little sphere of whirling wind around himself to prevent attacks from hitting him. He's also going to gain Stillness of Mind, so he can use his action to end one effect on himself that's causing him to be charmed or frightened. And I think Stillness of Mind is very much an Aang thing. At the end of Season 1, he travels to the spirit world and communicates with someone called Ko the Face Stealer, who, if you make an expression, he can steal your face. And Aang, using this Stillness of Mind, goes and gets information from Ko without making a face. Aang has an incredible Stillness of Mind. Let's do 8th level in Monk, 17th overall, to get another ability score improvement, and we are going to use that for another feat. I'm tempted to give him the mobile feat just because I love that synergy with the monk class. It's so good, but I think I'm going to instead choose... I was thinking of giving him Inspiring Leader to make an inspiring speech to give temporary hit points to his allies, but he doesn't do that. Katara is the one who does that. Katara gives all the speeches. Let's see, this is going to be the last feat he's going to get. So I honestly feel like he should have the animal handler feat, because we have all of his avatar and bending abilities down pretty well. You know, we talked about his elemental fighting, his avatar stay, we gave him blind sense, but I really want to drive the idea home as well that he is an animal lover. He loves animals. In Book 2, Chapter 15, The Tales of Ba Sing Se, Aang sees a zoo, and all of the animals are kept in these kind of small cages, and Aang is like, oh, unacceptable. So he uses earthbending to create this beautiful habitat for all of these animals. And that's actually the same episode. I mentioned it earlier. He takes a big breath and blows into a whistle for a long time so that he can get all the animals to follow him. And he makes these incredible enclosures with earthbending and waterbending. He loves animals. He loves them. We need to reflect that. So with the animal handler feat, he can increase his wisdom score by 1. Wisdom's maxed out, so let's put that plus 1 into intelligence. Why not? So that makes intelligence 14, which is now a plus 2 modifier. Good for him. He's learning. He gains proficiency in the animal handling skill, and if he's already proficient in the skill, he now adds double his proficiency bonus. That means animal handling goes from plus 11 to plus 17. Plus 17 to animal handling. He is incredible. He can befriend any animal he comes across. Also, Aang can now use a bonus action on his turn to command one friendly beast within 60 feet of him that can hear him and isn't currently following the command of someone else. Aang will decide what action the beast will take and where it will move during its next turn, or he issues a general command that lasts for 1 minute, such as to guard a particular area. And Aang definitely gives commands to Appa, like fly away, or stay hidden, or go faster. Oh, this is great. I think Aang would be happy to have the animal handler feat. Alright, now what next? He's 8th level in monk, 8th level in sorcerer, 1st level in fighter. He has another 3 levels. I don't know. All right, let's go 9th level in monk, which gives him the unarmored movement improvement. So 9th level in monk, 18th overall, he gets unarmored movement improvement, which means he now gains the ability to move along vertical surfaces and across liquids on his turn without falling during the move. That makes a lot of sense because Aang fully does have the ability to run up things and run across water. Great. Great and good. Okay, now, should we do 10th level? Okay. 9th level monk, 8th level sorcerer. So we still have 2 levels. Let's go 9th level sorcerer. So as a 9th level sorcerer, 19th overall, he is going to gain access to 5th level sorcerer spells. So there are some fun elemental ones here, like Cone of Cold, Control Winds, Immolation, Wall of Stone. And I wanted him to have access to these 5th level spells, because that's the highest you can get with the Way of the Four Elements monk subclass. So if we were gonna deviate from that and go sorcerer, I wanted those to be kind of an equal power there. We're gonna go 10th level in sorcerer, 20th overall, the final level. He gains another 5th level spell slot, so now he has 2 of those. He now has 10 sorcery points, and he gains another metamagic option. So we already gave him quickened spell and careful spell. Well, now he's very powerful. So I think I'm going to give him heightened spell. So now when Aang casts a spell that forces a creature to make a saving throw to resist its effects, he can spend 3 sorcery points to give one target of the spell disadvantage on its first saving throw made against the spell. So this means if Aang is casting that 5th level Cone of Cold spell, he can spend 3 sorcery points to give one person in that range of Cone of Cold disadvantage on their saving throw against the effects of the spell. So I'm seeing this as he's not necessarily doing anything to the person to give them disadvantage. It's just that his magic, his bending, is so ridiculously powerful that it just overpowers whomever his target is. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. All right, so that is it for Aang. Oh my god, we did it. This is so exciting. I love him. Avatar Aang, the last airbender. Background, we chose Far Traveler, and race, we chose Air Genasi. He's a level 9 Way of the Astral Self Monk, a level 10 Storm Sorcery Sorcerer, and a level 1 Fighter. It's really weird seeing that with no subclass. Yeah, he's just a level 1 Fighter. You know, whatever. His ending stats are 13 strength, 18 dexterity, 14 constitution, 14 intelligence, 20 wisdom, and 18 charisma. That is wild. His stats are so high. That's incredible. For skill proficiencies, he has plus 10 to acrobatics, plus 17 to animal handling, plus 11 to insight, plus 8 to nature, plus 11 to perception, plus 10 to performance, and plus 10 to stealth. All of those make a lot of sense to me. I think we gave him all the skill proficiencies that I wanted him to have. For saving throws, he has plus 7 to strength saving throws and plus 10 to dexterity saving throws. But remember, if his arms of the astral self are active, he can use his wisdom instead of strength for those strength saving throws. So that would be a plus 11 to strength saving throws. Languages, he knows common, primordial, sylvan, and celestial. He has proficiencies in Pai Sho and the Tsungi Horn. And for feats, we gave him skilled and animal handler. This is so fun. So usually I end this by giving my idea of the character and then running through a combat scenario where they're utilizing all of their abilities. But I think I did such a good job. You can literally just watch the show and it would be like the exact same. Like everything he does in the show, you'd be like, oh my god, Zach gave him that ability. Like being able to fall slowly and move really fast and knock arrows out of the air and freaking see through vibrations. Right, because I could give a description of Aang using these abilities, but I would just be describing his fight against, like, Fire Lord Ozai or some shit. So just watch the show. It's amazing. I'm sure you've already seen it if you're listening to this episode, and if you haven't, then oh boy, are you missing out. It's the greatest show. I just started rewatching The Legend of Korra because I love it so, so much, and it also slaps, and ugh, so good. It's just the whole world is amazing. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Email in character suggestions to me at fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Let me know who you want me to turn into a D&D character. I have so much fun reading through your suggestions, but I'm running out of them. So please send more. Again, that email is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Twitch, and YouTube, all under fantasizemepod. On Twitch, I'm currently streaming Kingdom Hearts 2 and having a lot of fun with that. Check that out, twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. And I mentioned the Elemental Codex, the D&D supplement I made of 100 elemental spells. There are some really fun things in there that you should check out. Go to ko-fi.com/fantasizeme and get the Elemental Codex today. I wrote it a while ago, but it's very good, if I may say so myself. 100 spells for just $3 USD. Check it out there, and remember to tell your friends, okay? Tell your enemies, okay? Tell your friends' enemies. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again soon. Bye!